Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Second pre-record today, and for those of you who will later be listening to this particular show, I just want to tell you that our Institute of Applied Mysticism, that has over 1,000 pages that are organized into a 3-month course with discussions of audio downloads, there's video downloads, and there's forums that you can discuss these principles with your fellow classmates from all over the world, is now available for you to sign up, and it begins on the 1st of August. And so please take a peek at our website of appliedmysticism.com. Actually, it's the Institute of Applied Mysticism, but regardless, I think the website is appliedmysticism.com. I'm not sure if they put the word institute on there, but I'm sure you folks can figure it out. So we have also an institute that is forming out of Singapore, and our dean of the college is our beloved brother Lee from Singapore, and the provost of that institute, actually it's not a college, it's an institute, is a Jennifer from Malaysia, just a brilliant young woman that I love very dearly, and I've just spent a week with her and her wonderful, wonderful family that I miss as though they're my own. And they are putting together the Institute of the Study for of Human Potential. So the Study of Human Potential is the name of their institute. It will also eventually be translated into two different Chinese dialects, and Cantonese being one of them, and I think the other one's from Hunan, but I'm not quite sure. So I wanted to share with you a little preview of one of the products that this institute will be putting out. On our last show, we discussed the other product, which is the Key Vesta, a phenomenal, phenomenal occult manifestation device. And the word occult means hidden, that was used by the ancient Lemurians. And in fact, a whole level of priest caste was built around the Key Vesta because it's the keys to physical manifestation. And I don't know what is coming, but the deeper I go into this material, the more profoundly I am affected by it, the more astonished I am at its holiness, and that we are permitted to yet again have such a gift on earth. The second product is the Seer's Journey. And I will give you little sneak peeks. I have finished this book. It's just being typed and edited and so on, and it will be along the lines of The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, a little gem that you sort of want to keep with you forever. And I hope that we have accomplished that. So I'm going to give you today some sneak peeks out of it. It's divided into 4 sections. The first section is called The Seer's Journey. And it is, for the first time, a revelation where I publicly speak about my other life as I daily go back and forth between the realms. And then the second part of it is the translation of 5 papyrus scrolls, very, very thin papyrus that come out of the holy libraries, and we've translated those scrolls. Then the third part is question and answers that are profound and touch the very core of human potential and basically that which man has been meant to be. And then the fourth part are the 144 seers' wisdom insights. And they become also the explanation, the deeper explanation for the Key Vesta's principles that are embodied by the 144 cards that you use in its manifestation protocol. So, the seer's journey. Long and passionate has been my journey to understand the meaning of life. I sought it in communion with nature, fasting in the deserts and high mountains. I looked for it in the eyes of the sage and the fool, but found there only myself. My quest brought many answers, but the questions never ceased. All roads led around and around, but always led back to myself. By lying in my blankets in the mountain of Montana, I saw that all stars turn through the wheel of the night, except the North Star, unmovable and serene upon its heavenly throne. Thus, like many before me, I entered the stillness within, where the voice of my questioning mind was silenced. The rivers flowed within me, and I was the wind and the wild horses that raced across the prairies. The bliss was deep and swallowed all desires. No boundaries did I know. Laughter rippled through my cells. I tasted divine ecstasy like honey in my palate. Sorry, I'm going to unplug my fax machine. I hope that will do it. Maybe it did. The honey, it says here, laughter rippled through my cells. I tasted divine ecstasy like honey in my palate. The actual truth of it is, my brothers and sisters, that by the time you are in your second phase of ascended mastery, there is an excretion that comes from the top of what is to be the Ida and Pengala, which are these two sort of intertwining serpents that are energy channels that go on either side of the pranic tube. Where they end, there are glands inside the brain that make an excretion that you literally taste like a sweet substance in the back of your palate. Also, during that time, masters, like if you take a look at Amma, she laughs all the time. Laughter just comes out. Some don't laugh at all. I, for instance, did not laugh at all, hardly at all, for 2 years. The first year I went through emptiness, and the second year I went through the bliss, and the laughter was like a little brook running through myself. It was this wonderful feeling, like being on a drug. And so, you know, it literally was that I was laughing inside so much that I didn't even make any attempt for external laughter. But deep in the languor of my expansion, a question echoed through my soul. The dream had left the mind of the dreamer. But had the dreamer not now entered the dream? I had become still, like the North Star, but had expanded to include the movement within. Yet again, as I lay upon my bed, watching all of life move within, I heard the faintest whispering. Life is a journey, not a camp. As addicted as the masses are to their contracted point of view, so addicted is the sage who in his bliss becomes all things. In other words, most masters never leave that. That is where they stay, in total addiction to the bliss. And growth stops and death claims one. The seer, in his searching, through perception grows in power, on the spiral of becoming, ever climbing higher. to the master in enlightenment who seeks no more to understand. Personal power sifts through his fingers like a fist full of sand. The spiraling journey of the seer, the flat expansiveness of the sage. To live where these combine, for me, was the next stage. Memories of childhood and laughter once more returned. The adventure of the unknown, of distant horizons that beckon renewed. The delight of the senses that had become a stranger was restored to remind me of the great gift of humanness. Yet the child cannot return to the womb, nor can the river that flows from its source. Through re-entering the drama of the human condition, and once again enacting my part, I knew that though the play had value, I was not the actor in the role. From an eagle's perspective, could I view life and simultaneously see like the snail? I lived in the eye of the storm, in rest with inactivity. Divine discontent led me onward. I knew there must be more. Some question yet unanswered. Something not seen before. Now this stage that I'm describing in this text, my brothers and sisters, is in fact the stage that one encounters in your very last and final level of ascended mastery. Because the bliss stage is where most of the ascended masters in the ascended mastery realms dwell. It's when you go to the next level. That is the level right before you leave the human condition and enter, which is the birthright of every race to achieve the culmination of the evolution of their species, is the God Kingdom. And so this place where you can see from all perspectives at once, and you live in the eye of the storm, in rest within activity, it's that third phase of immortal mastery. It is the place where, well, let me give an example. You know, I have now written, let me see, 15 books since January. Now, you put that into how many books a week that is. That can only be done when the books are over 180 pages of, minimum. Actually, the Seer's Journey is the only one of that length. The others are all over 280 pages. The only way you can do that is to live in a place of the eye of the storm, the null point of no time. To others, it looks like your activity level is insanely crazy. To you, it looks as if they're in slow motion. This is the eye of the storm, the rest within activity. And so it says, you know, these multiple perspectives and so on, that is what the third phase of immortal mastery is. Let's take a quick break, and I will be back and give you another little peek out of this manuscript.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. Receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns. Go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Almin has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
So welcome back, and we'll go further with some of this. All that lived in cosmic life dwelled within my being. All answers within the realms of form had already been seen. Like the winding trails on earth I traveled, I now mastered time and space, journeying into hidden realms where few seers dared to go. Among demons and angels and dragons and gods, wanting to learn what they know. Each had a page of the Book of Life. Yet a great discovery did I make. Within the heart of humankind, the whole book was written away. In other words, man is the microcosm of the macrocosm. Each of the realms. You know, and it's so strange to me because so many people are channeling beings from here or beings from there when all of it is within us. My brothers and sisters, man has the answers of that all of the other kingdoms have collected within him like a living library. By self-centeredness obscure, all cosmic knowledge lies within humankind. The densest of all beings, man is the microcosm of macrocosmic life. Enticing it is to discover and play amidst the wondrous realms of light, but around and around like a fish in a bowl is life within that which is known. In other words, one can easily get waylaid, doing nothing but traveling between the realms. Who wouldn't want to spend the day exploring the languages of angels, which incidentally I've given for you on the website ascensionangels.com, so you can learn how to speak angelic languages. You know, who wouldn't like to go into the mystical realms? And we've got a website just on those as well, on my findings. I could spend forever there. It's so much fun. And generally, it's a lot more peaceful than living in physical. But my brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, you're going around and around a fishbowl. Because everything that's known in the cosmos is known. And it is not going to get any more. It's simply a bigger fishbowl. You can live in identity consciousness going round and round in the little bit of known knowledge of humankind that they're accessing, because we know that in their hearts there's everything. Or you can start to go around and around the big fishbowl of the cosmos in which everything is known by the different kingdoms. And you see what's hidden in the heart of man by looking at the kingdoms, but still it is already known. And that the known, to gravitate into the known is the place of stagnation and no growth. The known is light. And so, if you take a look at the ascended masters, they have gravitated deeply into light in the past. It has been one of the most stagnant places on earth, the ascended mastery realms. In the past, the infinite has taken great steps to remedy that. But that's because they were only in the light. Light is accessed information, or the known. So, time is a tool, rather than a reality. This is a caption to one of the illustrations. It helps sustain the illusion of form. In timelessness, the tyranny of the appearance of form, being solid, releases its grip. Let's take a look at another little piece that we've written here. I chronicled my journey, not considering whether some would believe or others would scoff at my words. Like an explorer adrift on an endless sea, I chartered the realms beyond mind, hoping to leave the keys to the gates that imprison humankind. The glory of life, revealed in its parts, nevertheless seemed unreal. In the world of mirrors we live, and a growing discontent did I feel. Through freedom from mind, we escape our confines and can more clearly see. But behind space and time and the illusion of form lies more that is unreal. So what this is saying is the more I peeled back the layers of life, I just found more and more and more and more that was unreal. And so it was very disconcerting, because the more I looked, the more it just went on into eternity. Beyond all previous boundaries, into realms of timelessness, where even the illusion of the moment falls away. Because the moment itself, you know, we're all hearing about living in the moment, but the moment itself is an illusion. I searched for infinity's end. The fields of my body cracked from the strain, when I saw the mirrors endlessly repeat. The cracks caused by pain and anguish of heart, a great blessing did bring. More light could I hold, more clarity gain, as I transfigured into immortality. My brothers and sisters, this issue of the cracking of the fields is very carefully explained in the book that I've written, and I say that I've written because there are apparently other books with the same title, so it's the one by Almin, but it's The Ring of Truth. It explains great changes in cosmic laws, and it also explains how the fields of the body cracks, and in the case of a Nagua like myself, it creates prongs, like protrusions, like little prongs that stick out of the edges of the fields that are the result, like scar tissue, of the cracks that are in the field, because the field doesn't want the crack to go all the way through, because if it does, that is the equivalent of what death has been in the past. So, you know, if you want to know more about how such anguish, like the Garden of Gethsemane type anguish, as we are, as it's called, how it's actually the cracking of the egg, you can take a look at that book. So totally silent became the mind, like a lake lying undisturbed in the moonlight. Writing and speaking automatically occurred, unmarred by a single thought. You know, I beg your pardon, I misstated something earlier. That place where you see from all perspectives at once and you live in the eye of the storm isn't the third phase of ascended mastery. It's the third phase of God consciousness. It's the phase beyond where most of the masters in India are in their bliss. It's now we're speaking of the phases of immortality and ascended mastery. So the transfiguration into immortality is the second phase. But it's actually, this particular cracking of my egg happened in the first phase of ascended mastery. What I'm now explaining is still part of ascended mastery. Totally silent became the mind, like a lake lying undisturbed in the moonlight. Writing and speaking automatically occurred unmarred by a single thought. There wasn't a ripple of thought. The languages of the kingdoms, the secrets of subatomic building blocks of life, all that I needed to know appeared. The searching through the cosmos no longer had a need. As I sat before my fire or walked a busy street, the heavens would open. Great wonders would I see. The multiple layers of mirrors that our cosmos did surround were no more than layers of a membrane, like those that in skin are found. Clusters of cosmoses as vast as ours along a spiraled path did lie. 12 more spiraled pathways of cosmoses I did find. A cluster they make, one of many, that into eternity lie. What I found in terms of this macro cosmic life, my brothers and sisters, is in the book Windows into Eternity. Windows into Eternity describes the visions, amongst other things. I mean, it has much in it. It has applications of things you can do with your life and so on. But amongst other things, it describes these very, very large visions. I often have people in my classes say to me, but Almin, what's the point of telling us this? You know, how does that apply to our daily life? And they're right, because the Hopis say spirituality isn't spirituality unless it grows corn. This grows corn, my brothers and sisters. Because where if you travel with me where the mind cannot reach, it releases its grip of its tyranny. And that is what happens when I can help show you and guide you and help you hold your hand, and we can walk this journey together into places where the mind does not reach. That is one of the reasons we have installed our diary. So if you go to almindiary.com, every day you can share a new piece of insight that comes to me. So let's continue with this. No need to travel through realms of mystery. Nothing seemed closed to me. My body transfigured into immortal mastery. Nothing seemed closed to me is the same words used by someone who transfigured into an immortal master in one of the apocrypha of the Bible. Those are the books that got tossed out on their ear by the old Catholic fathers who compiled certain books into what is now our Bible. It's the book of the Odes of Solomon. And he describes there how his body stays young. For instance, in my own environment, people that I used to have as peers in the community, I mean, I'm not recognizing them now. And, you know, it's just astonishing the aging that has happened. He speaks about that in the book of Esdras, and he speaks about how nothing seemed closed to me. My bars of iron, which is the belief systems, broke in pieces, and behold, I was the door of everything. And he also says, my face and form appeared as in a strange fashion, to others. In other words, he didn't grow old. Many of the Taoist immortal masters had the same thing, and they would peddle their fish or work alongside of humans, but they were immortal masters. And, you know, at some point they just had to leave the village when people started talking, saying, wait a minute, this person didn't grow old. We're all growing old and this person's still young. And then they have to leave the village and go to another village because they stay the same age. Now, the fascinating thing of it is, in the Institute of Applied Mysticism's first course, which is the science of immortality and incorruptibility, I explain exactly how immortality is only the halfway step. It's not something that can last indefinitely. It will only make you a few thousand years old. Maybe longer if you know what you're doing or you move, as I have done, through tunnels of time. But my brothers and sisters, what lies beyond it is infinitely preferable. And it requires that we get off of the movement of the treadmill of life. It is incorruptibility that has combined us into oneness with the one life to such an extent that we have entered that which is completely incorruptible. At some point, the immortal master has to do certain things to prevent his body from decaying. Incorruptibility never needs to have that done. So it's very similar to the issue of time. We are told to live in the moment, but the moment is defined by what it is not, and all that is definable is unreal. The moment itself is an illusion. By all means, live in the moment. It's the next step. But beyond that lies the place of incorruptibility and omniscience, omnipotence. It is the place of timelessness. As I learnt and observed, from what I could see, profound were the answers that presented themselves to me. Vast as the spirals were that into eternity expand, they were but reflections of a DNA strand. Let's take a quick commercial break, and I'll be back with you after these messages.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're very happy to share this hour with you. And we're now in the second half of our hour. And I'll share a little more with you from this manuscript, The Seer's Journey, that will soon be published, and by soon, possibly in sort of the end of August, early September, by the Asian Office of Spiritual Journeys in Malaysia, of which Jennifer is our manager. And so let's just share a little bit more from this and then we'll move on. So let me read for you a little bit further. If one were to stand in a ball of mirrors, an infinite progression of images recede in all directions. The slightest movement affects all. Thus it is with life. All of the grand sweeping changes of ever-unfolding reality are but a projection through the smallest building blocks of life. through the heart of the subatomic particles of life, shine the images of the unfolding changelessness of the one life. This was the nature of the dream. And there's an illustration, and the caption of the illustration says, through the building blocks of life, the infinite illuminates the cosmic unfoldment on an endless stage. This is the nature of the dream. Through the vastness have I peered, but mirror images were they. Like all mirrored images, the opposite of what is, did they convey. Now through the hearts of the subatomic particles, the smallest windows into eternity, did I look. My folly was there revealed. There is no vastness, nor smallness, no inner, nor outer. For opposites cannot exist separately from each other. Within the outer, the inner resides. Within the awakening, the dream abides. Within cosmic unfoldment, eternal changelessness lies. I searched for the many within the one, but all I could find was me. So I want to skip out of this section and share with you a little bit about the questions that were being asked here. The questions are the third section of this manuscript. The second section is the scrolls that are translated. The third section, where I answer your questions, is called Embracing Formlessness. And this is its introduction. And many newly awakening in the dawn, who wished from the dream to be free, gathered to ask what their hearts would know. Life, how life was more than it seemed. Why is it so, when there is more than one seeing, that all exist as only one being? As you awaken from life's dream, a formless form in life's endless sea, new tools are needed for spaceless space to dance with the one life in a paradoxical embrace. Let multisensory perception the five senses replace. When the need to know dissolves, effortless knowing takes place. Then shall you taste the breath of the wind, the sound of the music shall you see. You shall hear the feelings of another's heart, like music on the breeze. My brothers and sisters, when I was in Sedona, this happened to me, this multi-sensory perception. A brother came in to play during the evening. Our beautiful sister Joanne is our facilitator in Sedona, and she just orchestrates these exquisite parts with wonderful events in the evening and outings to the Red Rocks and so on. So my brothers and sisters, what happened is that she had this wonderful player come in to make music. I could smell the fragrances of the notes. I could taste the music on my tongue. Interestingly enough, you know, my brother Simon said that recently to me. He said, I can taste the music. He's the facilitator up in Toronto and very dear to my heart. And we were experiencing them. I cried and cried and cried. The whole room of people was there. We had all these guests come in. They were all looking at me as if I was completely crazy. I cried the whole musical presentation through. I was sobbing because I had never in my life experienced such exquisite bliss. To taste music, to see it as colors. This is multisensory perception. The sound of music you shall see. You shall hear the feelings of another's heart like music on the breeze. But why do our eyes see spatially and our vision divide and deceive? The deception in the vision is because of deception that is believed. We think that form is static, that it's reality that we see. by throwing off the shackles of thinking that we know, by living like a child, exploring the unknown. And tell us now of speech, for that which is affirmed is that which comes to be. When receiving communication, do not listen with your ears. Let all senses and the heart behind the communication hear. Assimilation cannot happen when thoughts are in the mind, when thoughts are stilled, the true intent behind language you will find. Is language not an obsolete tool to capture reality? You may as well catch a falling star or reach for eternity. And of course, what is meant by that answer is that it's an unfolding, ever new and ever changing symphony of the one life. We think that the person we see is the same person as that which was before, but it isn't so. Every moment, that person is new. Every moment, the chair we sit on, the desk we sit on, it's new. It's a changing field of formlessness, of changeless change. And that's what it means. You cannot, you know, capture reality. That's the old paradigm of mind. You may as well catch a falling star or reach for eternity. Then why do we not from speaking refrain if there is nothing to be gained? The only language anyone hears is the one life's eternal song. Where only one being in reality exists, communication cannot belong. Communication is part of life's great conspiracy. In order to do a dance, it pretends duality. I've had many people in my classes ask me, Almin, what is the point of life? We may as well be dead if you are telling us that in reality we have no freedom of choice. And I say to them, it's like a hand saying to the body, I might as well be dead. I have no freedom of choice. Or the feet of a dancer saying, listen here, I want to do my own dance. Each foot wants to do its own thing. And why should I be dancing the dance that you prescribe? We are the one life. We are expressing as the many. It is the many that is the tool of the one life. The many do not have, in reality, freedom of choice. But the one life, which you and I are, is directing the feet of the dancer, that which is the many forms that we see. But is language then a friend or foe when it filters others' words? Play the game that life designs, but remember, nothing can be heard. What is the point of playing the game when it is only truth I seek? Seek not that in which you dwell. Truth is the infinite's being. The game you play is for your sake, from appearances to set you free. Without pretense, there is no dance of individuated form. For from pretending there is relationship, diverse expression is born. Let's take a quick commercial break.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of the linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to jump here to the last part of the seer's journey, which has been that which we've been exploring today, just to give you a little preview and little snippets of what is to come. And out of its 144 precepts of wisdom, I'm just going to randomly pick a few for our discussion and for you to take a look at. It says, do not defend yourself. What need is there for one who dwells in the innocence of the one life to prove that it is so? Nothing but innocence exists. I want to speak to you about this because it would be possibly better to use the word purity. What need is there for one who dwells in the purity of the one life to prove that it is so? Nothing but purity exists. The reason that I use the word innocence is so that masses that take this little book and read it can understand it. But the real truth behind this issue, this word of innocence, is what I want to talk with you about at this time. Innocence is the quality of a specific stage of development. It is, in fact, the stage of development that we describe in, we describe how these stages of life develop and how a relationship must develop through those same stages or it will break up. So if you are in a relationship and you really want to have that relationship work, the two places that you will find those answers is, number one, in Journey to the Heart of God, because it deals with the stages of development, and a lot of people try and stay in the safety, quote, of the first two stages, which is anything but safe, because life bumps you out of it. And it's the first stage that I want to speak of. And this is what people have when they're in love and they don't want to have a breakup. So they identify everything that is same. The first stage is, let's call it, seeking sameness. In social development, it is the stage of tribalism. And it also is what you would call dependency. I depend on you, you depend on me, and there is sameness. Oh my gosh, we both like rice pudding. See, I knew we were soulmates. Okay, this seeking sameness, my brothers and sisters, is vitally important to move beyond. Where there's diversity in sameness, within sameness, which is codependency, and the American Psychiatric Society, I read somewhere in one of the offices that I was in, and there was a magazine lying around, I usually don't read at all, that they estimate over 92% of the Earth's, of Americans are in a codependent relationship. That's why there's that many breakups. This is not a stable place to be in a relationship, yet it is sort of the ties that bind between two people that people think are dependable. In the first stage, which is tribalism, the need for sameness, dependency, it's what you have found in the tribalism that was on our planet that was so very cruelly disrupted. Tribalism's quality is innocence. Innocence only sees that which it is. It therefore is inflexible, and it cannot adjust properly. In the building blocks of existence, the particles that are called, I had to name them because nobody has named them before, and when I discovered them, I named them presence particles. They are the particles that are that have the highest frequency in their magnetic components. So they are, you know, they were 7 octaves above subatomic particles, which are material based. So 7 levels up, I found these presence particles. They are the particles that hold the pattern of the cosmos. This is when life is structured, it is held in place. Our cosmos has literally been in tribalism, and the pattern was dictated by the particles we called presence particles. I have used example before on this show that you can put metal shavings on the back of a glass on a little cardboard round or the top of a glass, and if you use a tuning fork, they'll make a pattern. The frequency of these presence particles determined the pattern, and the pattern really kind of locked life into a static form of sameness. Everybody conformed to the pattern. It is that which changed the least. It is also that which tied up power. Now that has been changed, but the quality of innocence, it's static. It sees only that which it is. Like an innocent child can look at something that's corrupt and not understand it because it doesn't, like, you know, it sometimes there's this unfortunate thing that parents are having sex and a little three-year-old comes in and something and they think daddy's tickling mommy or whatever. They don't understand what is occurring because they only understand the level at which they are. Innocence attacks what it does not understand, and it exhibits qualities of cruelty. As a result, it draws in cruelty. The way that prisoners have been treated by certain tribes throughout the earth is overlooked as we study with a very sentimental, romantic way, their way of life. And I've been there. I lived for 5 years amongst Native Americans, and my experience and my insights and the transitioning of shamanism into what it was originally meant to be is written on my website, www.ancientshamanism.com. And you can, there's some very interesting stories there. There's also viewpoints from the elders, and then, you know, my point of view back of how these things are changing. But they exhibited tremendous cruelty. Yet when you looked in their eyes, there's this innocence. And my brothers and sisters, it's like a child that yanks the puppy's ears because it equates it with a stuffed animal. It doesn't understand that which is different, so it feels it's okay to exercise its will over it. The cruelty of innocence is part of this stage of development, and it begs cruelty because we create in our environment that which we are. So cruelty comes in as that which disrupts the very, very comfortable place of dependency, which is the place of no, hardly any growth whatsoever. Over thousands of years, native traditions hardly changed at all. So innocence is not really what we need to be calling this, but if we say we are pure, we are an expression without freedom of choice of the one life, we have nothing and no need to defend ourselves. When we are defending ourselves, we are engaging in the treadmill of life, which is very counterproductive because it's in stepping off the treadmill into the center that we become the null point, canceling out the illusion of our existence. But there are always others in our environment that want to get us to be pulled back into their games. Don't go there, my brothers and sisters. So let's do one more. The one who speaks cannot listen. Life whispers its mysteries into the ear of one who listens in silence. The one who speaks cannot listen. Life whispers its mysteries into the ear of one who listens in silence. I actually wrote a poem about this, and it's a poem that's written in the form of little triplets that are in haiku. Haiku is a Japanese form of succinct poetry. And it's on my daily diary, because I share everything with you there. I share my poetry. I share new recipes from the facilitators in Curacao and Dublin and all over the world as I go and taste all these wonderful things. And so on. I mean, it's our journey of just walking together, and then, of course, the deep mysteries that come day by day. I wrote in there a poem to my daughter, and I speak of her as the beautiful flower in my garden, but it speaks there of the flowers all whispering together. Only the water lily listens. Because, of course, the flowers are rustling in the wind, and the water lily does not rustle in the wind. It sits in serenity in the rippleless pond. When we are in stillness, life reveals its mysteries. When we are anxious to convey only, we cannot hear it. And this is, in effect, what this one is saying. So, my brothers and sisters, it's been a delight to be with you today. And I think we will end our pre-records for today. And for those of you that will listen to this later, I send you my love in advance. Thank you for being with us.
The Way of the Toltec Nagual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available from Almeen. Not only is this wisdom-packed book a guide for serious students of the Toltec Way, but also a font of knowledge for all truth seekers. Mapping out the revolutionary changes in Toltec mysticism, it presents the precepts of mastery sought out by all who travel the road of illumination and spiritual warriorship. Almeen reveals publicly, for the first time, the ancient power symbols used by Toltec Nahuals to assist in obtaining freedom from illusion. This book also features information about the hidden planets used by the Toltecs and the astrology of Isis. The Way of the Toltec Nahual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available in paperback or as an electronic download. more as an audiobook spoken by Armin. To receive your copy, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Windows into Eternity, Revelations of the Mother Goddess, is now available from Armin. This book provides unparalleled insight into ancient mysteries. Armin, an internationally recognized mystic and teacher, reveals the hidden laws of existence, transcending reason, delivering visionary expansion. This metaphysical masterpiece explores the origins of life as recorded in the holy libraries. The release of information from these ancient libraries is a priceless gift to humankind. The illusions found in the building blocks of existence are exposed, as are the purposes of creation. To receive your copy of Windows into Eternity, Revelations of the Mother Goddess, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity, with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.